All right, guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official sponsor of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. I am Ben Alderman.
And I'm Blair Morrison. We are in open season, Ben. It's here.
It's
17.1 out last night. What'd you think?
Initial reaction, I am okay with it. You know,
I can still see the mascara streaking down your face from all the tears you shed last night.
Well, you know, out of the six open workouts that we'll do, I'm saying five from last year and one this week. So of the six last open workouts, three of them have included a variation on the burpee. So that's half.
It's a good thing you've been doing all those burpees, though.
Yes.
I think we had this exact conversation last year before the first workout.
And that's the frustrating thing, right? Like, I do burpees all the time, and they really get no better. But at least they're not getting worse. So
that's true, because you're getting older, but you're not getting worse.
That's right. That's right.
I like that.
I think that when I first heard Castro announce the dumbbell snatch, I was a little underwhelmed. I thought that when we thought dumbbell in the open for the first time, I know that we had talked and you had thought it was going to be more of a simpler movement like the dumbbell snatch. And I was thinking it would be something to kind of take advantage of that 20-foot, you know, increment that they used last year for the overhead lunge, and which we could still potentially see, obviously. But I thought it would be like a dumbbell lunge or a dumbbell front rack lunge or something like that. I just thought there'd be some level of distance involved with the dumbbell that made it kind of unique. So that's just what I thought. The burpee box jump over, obviously I wasn't too thrilled. I am happier that it's more of a burpee workout when I'm fresh, and more of a dumbbell snatch workout when I'm less fresh. So in that sense, I'm actually okay with it.
Yeah, I got no complaints. I think I'm going to fare fairly well at this workout because I do think it's a burpee workout. We went through 4 minutes of it last night just to kind of get the feel for things, as we typically advise you guys to do out there. Run through a couple rounds or a couple minutes of the open workouts before you actually get into it, just so that what your anticipating is accurate. You know, it's nothing worse than going into a workout thinking it's going to feel one way and actually feeling another, because then whatever plans or strategies you had go right out the window. So we went through 4 minutes of it last night, and I definitely think it's more about the burpees. I think, like Ben said, towards the end, it could be a little bit of, you know, lower back, maybe some grip, but probably not. I mean, the dumbbell is relatively light. It's not a super heavy dumbbell for most of the athletes out there. But it's a high volume. I mean, we did almost three rounds of the workout in that 4 minutes. And I was like, oh my gosh, already only two rounds to go, of the dumbbell snatch at least. And I realized that I'd only done 60 reps and there's still
90
to go. So it's like, you hadn't even done half of the work yet. So that the dumbbell probably will start to wear on you towards the end. But at least in the beginning, I think the people who have the more consistent burpees are going to do the best.
Yeah. I think that if you set the pace on the burpee, which is the more taxing movement, right? If you can maintain a decent pace there, then you're most likely going to keep a decent pace on the dumbbell snatch, right? Like, there's not gonna be people who are crushing burpee box jump overs every single round, but they're just falling apart on the dumbbell snatch.
Exactly. Exactly. I definitely think the penalty for sucking at burpees is much greater than the penalty for sucking at dumbbell snatches. Cause I mean, there's only so fast you can go on a dumbbell snatch. Even if you're setting it down, taking a breath, setting it down, taking a breath, you're not going to lose as much time as if you are, you know, crawling on the ground with your burpee up to your knees, jumping over, standing up, resting on top of the box. Like, really, I mean, it can really get out of hand quickly. So if you can, I think that number one tip that I'm going to offer to our listeners is establish your burpee pace from the beginning and do not deviate. Don't go out super fast to try to like get ahead or kind of like anticipate your tiredness so that I'm going to bank some time now because I know I'm going to slow down. No, set your burpee pace, something that's going to be consistent throughout, because when you are tired, you need a habit or a pattern to fall back on mentally.
Yeah, I feel like that pattern or that habit is far more important than banking any kind of time, because the time can disappear in one rep. If you take an extra 10-second break, right?
All the time you gain is gone.
Yeah, exactly. Unless that's your pattern, right? Unless somebody out there is listening and they're like, hey, my pattern is do 10 burpees, take a 10-second break, and then do 5 burpees, right? Like, that might be somebody's strategy just because maybe they're brand new to CrossFit and their muscular fatigue is actually pretty high and it's not just cardio, right? But if it's purely your engine, you can really moderate your burpee by just slowing it down and staying consistent through all 15 reps. That's what I think.
Yeah. And it's still 75 burpees. You know, it sounds like the smaller of the two because it's only 15. It doesn't go up to 40 or 50 reps. But 75 burpees over a box, that's a lot of burpees, especially if you are the type of athlete who doesn't like to do them. It's not doing them a lot. You need something consistent and repeatable when you get into that 50 to 60 to 70 rep range.
And I think that's really sometimes – well, not sometimes. I think that's one of the biggest differences I see between like a games level or a regional level athlete and your typical open athlete is they have set patterns, right, that they know they can fall back on. If those patterns are ingrained deep enough and their engine is can push those things through rep counts that most people don't think should be in workouts, that's what makes them go to the next level. I think that the first 4 minutes of the workout, right, like how you felt, a lot of people can kind of get to that same place that you were at. It's the next 4 minutes when is that pattern going to be something that they can maintain?
Right. Is it sustainable?
Is it sustainable? Right. And so, and for the regional and the games level athletes, it's going to be more sustainable. For the open athletes, that's going to start to fall apart. But if you're listening to this, which most of you guys are listening to this are not regional or games athletes, most of you are open athletes, you can actually set a pattern to help take advantage of other people's falling off if you set it early and just stay consistent.
Now let's talk a little bit about how to do that, right? There's a couple ways to do it. One way is to set like a metronome where, hey, I need to do one burpee every 5 seconds or
right.
something like that. Like that's one way people do it. Another way is to set like cadence marks with your feet. Like every time you come off the box, it's two steps and then drop. And every time you come up, it's two steps and then jump. Something like that where, okay, I'm always doing two steps. I'm just thinking about one step, two step jump, one step, two step drop.
That might be easy because a lot of gyms don't have metronomes.
You don't have a giant metronome in there?
I wish I did.
Just TikTok back and forth?
That would be great.
Yeah, but I mean, some people set their phones up to like, it can beep every 5 seconds or you have your judge, you know, or you're someone who's cheering for you, keeping you on time. Personal preference, I like the latter. I like doing the step cadence, something like that. It's easier for me to stick with that than having to concentrate on a clock. But those are two ways that you can establish those patterns that will benefit you later in the workout when you're tired.
I agree. I think that the other thing that if I was offering some advice on this, it'd be to invent a time machine and go back to November and start doing burpee EMOMs so that you're more able to keep those cadences when you get tired.
It's so funny you say that. So just to give our listeners a kind of a peek behind the curtain, what we've been doing at my gym and for our team, the last, 4 to 6 weeks, you know, we've been in open prep and we've done these team warm-ups. And twice a week, we've been doing 10 bar-facing burpees for 10 minutes, EMOM. So that's like 200 bar-facing burpees a week. Within a 10-minute span, you know, each time. So it's like, I guess, a 20-minute span total over the week. But when we started doing burpees, I was like, okay, it's only 15 burpees, you know. Mm-hmm. That's not crazy. And then I get a break. I get to go do this light dumbbell snatch. That's kind of what it felt like when we ran through it is,
yeah.
All right, 15 burpees is not a crazy number because we've been used to doing 10 a minute for 10 minutes, you know. Like, I can do this and be done.
Well, you're calling the dumbbell snatch a break? Right.
That's what it felt like.
How can somebody maybe screw that up, right, so it doesn't feel like a break, and then they get back to the burpees, they're feeling terrible?
Okay, so you could screw up the dumbbell snatch by sprinting it, right? The dumbbell snatch is a movement that you don't gain a lot of time by going max effort as opposed to going like 80 or 70% effort. But what you sacrifice is your ability to breathe evenly. So when you try to go like max speed up and down, you tend to forget to breathe. You don't have a regulated breathing pattern. Maybe you're gaining, you know, a quarter of a second per rep, which will add up over the course of 40 or 50. But what you're sacrificing in breathing and heart rate is going to outweigh that because you're going to have to take a break. So somebody could screw up that by coming off the burpees and then trying to do the set of 20 or the set of 30 dumbbell snatches as fast as humanly possible, right? You didn't see any of the athletes last night do that. Like, it was, the dumbbell snatches were pretty methodical, right? So that's one way you could screw them up. What do you think?
Well, I think that's definitely the case. I mean, there's very few movements I'm learning that you can really sprint on and gain just like a ton of advantages, except for like a sprint.
Assault bike.
Yeah, like an assault bike. Yeah, there you go.
Calorie assault bike.
Like a calorie assault bike or even like a calorie row, right? Or like a run, get out and run 400 meters, right? Like that could be much faster, but you pay the price on all those things. And so I think it's really important that people don't look at somebody like Sam Briggs and just say like, oh, she was sprinting the whole time. She wasn't sprinting the whole time. She was actually maintaining a very fast pace that looks like a sprint compared to what you do at home, right?
Or right, in your gym. But for her, that was, no. You know, that's like 80%.
Yeah. Like if she's her 40 dumbbell snatches in that workout are slower than if she was fresh and we were like, hey, Sam, do 40 dumbbell snatches for time.
Correct.
Right? So because the energy system used is different. So that's what I would see on the dumbbell. I also think that when people could mess up the dumbbell snatch to the point where they do that and then they take that break and then they start wandering away from the dumbbell, right? When you wander away from the dumbbell, those rests are just kind of, they're unplanned, they're unmeasured, and they add up in a ridiculous way.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. This workout comes down to being steady and always chipping away towards the end, right? You don't want any time where you're doing nothing. That whatever you have to do to space out your reps so that you're always going towards your goal, that's this kind of workout, you know? This is not an interval style workout where you are work, rest, work, rest. There are workouts like that, you know, like when we do high volume chest to bars or muscle ups, where you have to be smart because your muscle fatigue is going to prevent you from doing another rep. You could fail a rep. Nobody's going to fail a burpee on this. Nobody's going to fail a dumbbell snatch. It's like, can you keep doing them until you're done, right? Rather than taking big breaks.
Yeah, it makes me look forward to this workout. And I know that cardio isn't my thing and conditioning isn't my thing, but I'm thinking about this workout right now and just like, you got to be one with the dumbbell.
One with the dumbbell.
Be one with the dumbbell and steady on your burpees, man.
One with the box.
One with the box.
Yeah, I think you're gonna do great. I'm looking forward to it. I like to get it done. This is the workout that I don't think I'm gonna need to do again. So that's also exciting.
The nice thing is that on this workout, I really don't think you're gonna be all that sore. I know the low back's gonna have to do a lot of lifting, but I don't think you're gonna be that sore from this workout.
Right. I mean, for the stronger athletes, a 50-pound dumbbell or a 35-pound dumbbell, it's 150 reps. I could see some hamstring soreness maybe.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's not going to be like, you know, those 150 wall balls where you just can't sit down on the toilet
right
day.
Not crippling like that way. No. That way.
All right. So I want to dive a little deeper into this workout and the Open in general. And to do that, we are going to introduce a new segment.
Oh, exciting.
Pretty exciting. It is the Life Aid Touch and Go, brought to you guys by Life Aid Beverage Company.
Is this one that the listeners, wherever they're at, they hold their breath until it's over?
Yeah, everybody's got to hold your breath. Fit Aid is the proud official recovery beverage of the CrossFit Games. They've partnered for two free can exclusive for 99 cent shipping. You guys got to go to lifeaidbevco.com/BTB. Be sure to follow them on social at Fit Aid. And we're really, really proud and happy to have them on board.
So two free cans. They just pay 99 cent shipping.
That's right.
I haven't seen this. This is great. I'm really excited. So they go to lifeaidbevco.com/BTB.
That's right. It's an open exclusive.
Just /BTB. That's easy to remember.
That's right.
Beyond the barbell.
Beyond the barbell.
I got it.
That's where that comes from.
It's an acronym.
All right. So to kick this thing off, we're going to have five questions. Five questions for the touch and go.
Okay.
Number one, Ben, I'm going to pose it to you. Is it worth it to touch and go the dumbbell snatches?
Oh, I like this question. And I'll answer on behalf of Life Aid Beverage Company and BTB. I think it makes good sense to touch and go. That stretch shortening cycle that happens in the muscle, right? Like as soon as you set that thing, that dumbbell down, and it you're losing that, right? So I think that makes sense just to take advantage of that as long as possible. You know, you switch the dumbbell in midair so you can hang on to it and pop it right back up. And I think that's going to help assist the hamstrings in getting that dumbbell overhead.
Right. And it takes less time too, right?
And it takes less time.
When you set the dumbbell down, have to switch your grip. It adds partial seconds, half a second each rep. So that adds up over time. I personally think it's, like you said, it's easier. It's easier just to kind of rebound it if the weight's not too high. And if you are lowering correctly, I think this is a big thing that we see across competitive CrossFit sometimes. When people get fatigued, they start to just do the work rather than do the work efficiently. Mm. And if you're going to touch and go the dumbbell snatches, but you're going to just bend over at the waist, not bend your knees, let your back get round, then I would say, no, it's not worth it. Set it down, reset your hips, because you are going to do 150 of these and right. Your back is not going to like it.
So question one of the FitAid touch and go is, should you touch and go?
That's right. You like how I did that?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like how I did that?
Yep.
So if you can maintain good form, lower your hips, and then switch the dumbbell on the way down, it's only going to be to your advantage because it's going to take less time. But if you can't, if the weight kind of pulls you out of position, then it's better for you to reset over the long haul. That's my personal opinion. Ben, being a big gorilla athlete, I'm sure he's not going to have any problem with doing it either way. All right, buddy. Question two. Of the four CrossFit Games athletes that we saw compete last night, right? So that's Vellner and Fikowski.
Yep.
And then Sam Briggs and Christine Holt.
Yep.
Holta,
I think you say it.
Holta. Of those four, which Games athlete can improve the most if they were to redo 17.1?
Oh.
I'm going to test your knowledge here. Like, how do you know these athletes?
Well, I know them well enough to see. I know the sport well enough to look at that and see maybe some flaws in some things.
Okay, do tell.
Right. So, I really like what the ladies did on their side of it. They pushed pretty hard. Sam Briggs moved at a pace that was just below frantic, and I thought she did a really good job. Holta didn't finish much after her.
Yeah, was she under 11 minutes also?
She was like 10:53, right, or 11. It was really close. And I think she's only 10 burpees behind. I think Sam was like, anyway, it was not,
right,
not
it was
much
close.
At all. It was close. You know, on the men's side, I think that there was maybe a little bit more, they were a little bit more gun shy going into the workout. So I don't think anybody wanted to blow up, right? So there was a lot more of a even pacing that neither of them looked frantic. But I would say that of the two guys, I think Fikowski's movement patterns, they just struck me as kind of inefficient, a little sporadic. Like, he could have stayed lower on the box. We talked a little bit about that
right
earlier off the show. But it could have been something that, if he's going to be a larger athlete like that, I think he needs to really maximize. And when I say larger, I mean he's 200-plus pounds. He's 6'2". And he is got a really big wingspan, so that dumbbell snatch is going to take him a long time. He's got to make sure that those burpees are nice and quick, right? And so that was just one little thing that I saw, and I think that him also, it's not necessarily just a flawed technique, because that's a big word. It's not like it's flawed. He probably got a time that's faster than I'm going to get anyway. But he's also a smart athlete. And so being a smart athlete, he can go back and he can look at where he can kind of break down his movements and get better, right?
Right.
So I think that maybe Fikowski, because of his own understanding of himself, and then also some little things that I saw, he could go back and fix that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
So
definitely staying lower on the burpees. What do you think about the do you think they should have been touch and go in their snatches? Obviously, they're strong enough athletes. They're probably not going to hurt their form.
Yeah, I've seen Fikowski wear a belt on a few things, and maybe he's got a bad low back situation going on.
Could be.
Taller athlete, short torso, gets a lot of hamstrings involved, and maybe it just kind of gets it going. Vellner was kind of steady. I think I've seen him wear a belt too, but I mean, they're Games athletes. They always have a shirt off. We always see if they're wearing a belt or not. But, you know, they know their body.
Do you think they're going to redo it?
I think that they're going to find out if the other one's going to redo it. And then they'll redo it if the other one's going to redo it.
Yeah. I feel like there's so much pressure in those open announcement environments. Sam has done it multiple times. She's almost done it every year, I think. So it was not surprising to see her be unfazed, just be aggressive and go for it. Obviously, it's a very engine-dominant workout, so you expect her to do really well. I wouldn't be surprised if both the guys redo this workout and get faster by maybe a minute.
Yeah. I mean, there's the whole dumbbell switching on the way down. There's the different things they can do, you know. I don't know. And then all at the same time, Fikowski might say, you know what, I'm going to make the games anyway. I'm going to make regionals anyway. There's really no reason for me to do it.
Yeah. The mature approach.
The mature approach, right? And then again, there's the prideful approach. And I think both bode well for creating a successful CrossFit Games athlete at some level.
True. All right. Number three. The Life Aid, Fit Aid, Touch and Go. You want to call it Life Aid Touch and Go or Fit Aid Touch and Go?
I don't care.
We'll get back with them on that.
Yeah. But all the people have to do is go to lifeaidbevco.com/BTB and they get two free cans for 99 cent shipping.
That's right.
Wow.
All right. Third question, Ben. Will any athlete go sub 10? Any athlete in the world, not in this room. Because I don't think anybody in this room is going sub 10.
I don't think I could go that fast. And I mean this literally with a gun to my head. I don't think it would happen. So we don't think there's any danger of any of us
with a
10-pound
dumbbell.
With a 10-pound dumbbell. I don't think I beat Sam Briggs with a women's weight. I think that Matt Fraser has got the best chance at going sub 10. I think Josh Bridges is a close second, but I think maybe both those guys sub 10.
Right. So you're picking shorter athletes.
I'm picking shorter athletes. Yeah, guys who are still a little stocky though. So they can move that 50-pound dumbbell, no problem. I know most guys are going to move that with no problem, but I just mean it's just not going to wear and tear on them. You know, Josh is still a thick guy, you know, and he's shorter. That burpee range of motion as he kicks back is slight less time.
Sure.
And then, you know, but when he goes to jump over the box, will it tax him a little bit more? Will any of his age come into play? You know, and so there's just those kind of slight unknown factors. Matt Fraser's crazy.
He's crazy.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to be scared of any workout, right? So for that reason, I'm going to give Matt Fraser the nod on this workout and a sub-10 time. Maybe even he might go like 6:45 or something like that.
All right, what about on the women's side? Do you have any fast finisher predictions on the women's side? Do you think anybody can beat Briggs?
I think Steph Iron Mile, if you guys follow her on Instagram. She should be very close. But I think that if any girl beats Sam's time, I won't question it. I'll just go, you know what? Sam could have done that too had she had a day or two to prep and watch other people as well. You know what I mean? Like, I think Sam's time is ridiculous. I think it's very fast. I don't think anybody's going to beat her. But if somebody does, I don't think it's because they have a better engine. I just think it's because they got to watch Sam go first. If that makes sense.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine anybody having a better engine.
No. No.
And also the fact that she's coming off an injury, but still seems 100%.
She's hungry, dude. She's hungry. And her abs look like a cobblestone street. They're crazy.
You'll get there one day. All right. Question number four. Okay. We'll touch and go.
Yep.
Will we see burpees a second time this year? Because we saw it a second time last year. Will Iron Mile Ben have to do burpees
again
twice in the same open season?
No, I don't think so. I think for that reason I mentioned earlier, in the last six open workouts announced, they've been in there three times. I just think that that's a little bit biased at this point. And to balance it out, because we know CrossFit does like to balance things out. And they will set this ship on the right course. I think that we won't see burpees for the next seven open workouts.
Okay.
So four this year and three next year. So not until 17.4.
18.4.
18.4 or three or whatever. Mid-18s will we see burpees again in the open.
All right. I'm going to give you a question 4A here, right?
Okay.
If Mark Bell were to do 17.1.
Yes.
What would his time be? What would his score be?
His score?
Yeah. That's 75 burpees over
the
box.
Yeah, no, I got it.
And 150 dumbbell
snatches. I think Mark would get 69. 69
reps in 20 minutes?
Yep. That's 10 and 15, 20 and 15, and then 9 more dumbbell snatch.
All right, Smelly, the gauntlet has been thrown down. You have a welcome invitation anytime over the weekend to come perform this workout.
Yeah.
And we'll put it out there for everyone to see.
Oh, my gosh.
It'd be so good.
It would be great. I would love to see Mark do it.
He should start an episode, a weekly thing, you know, powerlifters doing CrossFit, yeah, just for the pure humor in it.
It would be huge. It would blow up.
I mean, we have that first CrossFit workout he ever did on tape.
Yep. I found the footage of that, by the way.
Yeah, maybe we should release that.
We should leak that.
Leak that out.
Yep.
All right. Back to our touch and go. Final question, number 5. Upon completion of this workout in Canada, I don't know if you saw this, but Fikowski and Rory McKernan were out there shirtless in the snow being pelted with water balloons, snowballs, flour, baking flour, that is, and chocolate syrup by fans, but also by Boz and
Vellner.
And Patrick Vellner, right. The guys who won the respective challenge.
Sure.
So, having seen this, whose body was more impressive to you? Fikowski, the top 5 games finisher, or Rory McKernan, voice of CrossFit?
This is a slightly awkward question because most people probably didn't even see the video. But if you did see the video,
go look it up. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, on Mars Media. I think you could see it. The at Mars Media. If you you got to weigh in a lot of factors here.
You're stalling here. You're stalling.
You got to weigh in a lot of factors. Well, I'm really trying to balance this out and give a true answer here. So Fikowski's 6'2", right?
Big dude.
Yeah.
Not tan.
Not tan. That's a problem, right? So, but I actually think he's pretty tan for a Canadian. So even though he's not tan for an American, he's very tan for a Canadian.
That's true.
Right? So on a scale, he's very tan.
You're giving him the tan points.
The tan points. Yeah, the tan points definitely go to Fikowski because of the Canadian factor. The height factor, well, I mean, Rory's a pretty tall guy too.
They're both big dudes.
Yeah, yeah. I think just a simple fact that nobody expects Rory to be in that kind of shape, you got to give it to him.
Bro, he was right? Shredded.
I know. Fikowski was 4th at the CrossFit Games. When somebody tells you, hey, this guy got 4th at the CrossFit Games, you didn't expect him to be a slouch, right? Like, you expect him to be pretty jacked. Fikowski walks out, blonde hair, jacked, super tan for a Canadian, and you're like, okay, that makes sense. Rory's like, yeah, I'm an announcer for the CrossFit Games, and my biggest competition is Adrian Bosman, the head, you know what I mean? He's like, okay, well, he doesn't talk like that, number one, but he doesn't have to be jacked. He could be anything, right? So I think that for that reason alone, I have to give the nod to Rory, and as they're calling him on this, Ro gets the win on this.
I can't disagree with you, man.
Yep.
I think he showed out.
Yep.
Pretty big time.
So is it fair to say that Fikowski lost twice?
You know, he might have lost the in-game and the post-game. Although he did get hit harder with the flour and the syrup.
That's true.
So
that's true. And then he actually got to nail Rory right at the end of that video with the actual bucket, I think, of flour or something, like the actual bucket. So that being said, man, I would love to have both those guys on our show and be able to talk to them about, you know, their respective professions and what they do. I think those guys are both actually really interesting dudes. It's kind of cool to see where the sports went, how Rory's kind of done what he's done on the media side. And then Fikowski just, I mean, there's not enough can be said about Fikowski in the year he had last year. So I just think that those two guys are pretty cool dudes. Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. All right. So that kind of brings our segment to an end. Touch and go. 5 questions. Inaugural episode. Pretty fun.
Pretty cool.
I think you did good, Ben.
Yeah?
Yeah. If I had to give you a grade on that segment of a scale from 1 to 10, I would give you at least a 6.5.
A 6.5. That's actually better than any of my chemistry grades in growing up in school. So that's actually really good. So I'm better at answering questions than I am at chemistry.
Yeah.
Answering chemistry questions, that is.
All right. So as we wrap this up, kind of getting ready for everybody to go out and do 17.1, do you have any closing thoughts? Is this the type of workout that people need to be afraid of? Should they just kind of get it over with? You know, what do you foresee out there for most of our listeners?
Well, I'm actually glad you asked me that question, Blair. That was such a great, poignant question. And I would say there's two faults that you see in an athlete when they approach an open workout like this. There is like a more lackadaisical approach, right, where people are kind of oblivious. They're like, that's no big deal. It's just the open, right? There are people who are like that. They're just like, it's just a workout. I'm here for myself and blah, 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 blah. And they don't really care. So they're not actually able to start the workout with the kind of intensity that they need to finish with a good score, right? And then there's also the type of athlete who gets really, really nervous. And they're so anxious and they're worried about what they're wearing. And if their dumbbell is going to be turned one way, horizontally or perpendicular to their body, or, you know, vertical in line with their feet, you know, they're not sure what they should do. And they wonder if their coach is looking at them funny because their face is looking weird, you know, and how many friends they're going to lose if they don't finish the workout, right? And so they miss their moment, right? Because they've got too much anxiety. I think really that the sweet spot lies somewhere in between. And that's where you're like, hey, you know what? I'm doing an open workout today. I've got a little bit of anxiety. And you recognize that. Accept it, and then just tell yourself everything's going to be okay, and then just go out there and do you. That's what I think that the key is on this workout. So there you have it. Go out and do you.
Go do you. I like it. I'm going to go take that advice tonight at the gym. Hopefully come back tomorrow with a better score than you.
Oh, yep. Well, if you do you, then that should be – I think if both of us perform at our top level, this would be a really good one for us, and it's really not that I would be able to compete in the burpee box jump over. It's just that maybe at the end and maybe in the 50s, I can reel in enough time to catch up to you.
Hey, buddy. Anything's possible.
Yep. You won with the dumbbell, man.
I am older than you, so.
That's true.
By a whole month.
I'm feeling real good right now, too. Be one with the dumbbell and be slow and steady on the burpees.
All right, guys. Good luck to everyone out there doing this workout. We're going to be back again next week right after the release of 17.2, giving you guys some tips and tricks, some advice on how to attack these things, and just in general, kind of having fun with this open season. So remember to go follow us at BTB Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Download the episodes. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. And have a great, great week.